1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes to the church at Corinth this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." God has called us to a big mission. He's called us to stand in the place of Jesus and to draw men to Jesus Christ. He has called us to build a church, not of our own efforts and not of our own actions or not of our own will, but out of the will of God. And He's called us to do something that is impossible in our own strength and in our own wisdom. But God never calls His people to do something that He does not equip them to do. So if I do not have in me what it takes to fulfill my ministry, and you do not have in you what it takes to fulfill your ministry, then how can God possibly build a church through us unless He provides us with the tools that we need? But here's the thing. Some of us do not know what our place in the kingdom is. Some of us do not believe that we have what it takes to do what we want to do to build up the kingdom. Some of us lack the confidence to step forward and use the giftings and callings that God has placed in us because we feel like we might make a mistake and we're afraid. Or we feel like we stubbed our toe last week and we're not worthy. Or we feel like there's got to be someone who can do this better than I can. But did you see what Paul wrote to the church there? What he said is this: each one is gifted. Each and every one of us has a gifting of God for our place in His kingdom. And it's not about us or our strength. It's about our willingness to utilize the tools that God has given us. Now, if you go to a construction site, one day you might be working on a concrete foundation and you need shovels and hammers to build forms, and you need a wire tying tool to tie the rebar together. You need a different set of tools than you do when you're doing the framing. You need a different set of tools to do the roofing than you needed to do the foundation. God gives us each a unique toolbox. A lot of times on a construction site, everybody's not like Bruce. Bruce does all the trades. But a lot of times you'll go to a big construction site and you'll have a foundation crew, and then you'll have a framing crew, and then you'll have a finished carpentry crew, and you'll have a roofing crew and a plumbing crew and an electrical crew. And each one has the unique training and unique talents and unique tools that they need to perform their particular trade and to do it well and to do it right. That's the way God builds His church. He gives to each one the particular tools that they need to do their part in the kingdom. Well, what parts might those be? Well, some people are intercessory prayers. Some people go to war in the heavenlies before the battle occurs in the physical realm. Some people stay in that position of intercession through the physical battle. And they are in a place where they can prepare the atmosphere for the work of the kingdom. Some people are evangelists. They go out and they reach out and they draw people to Christ by simply proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected as the payment for our sin. And they're able to do that message in a way that reaches out and grabs people by the heart. You have others that are teachers and pastors and apostles that each have their own individual toolkits. One of the most important is teachers. We need people to rightly divide the word of truth, to chew it up into digestible bites, and to give that to the people so that they can digest it. See, Jonathan's got the baby out there. You know, you wouldn't cut up a big T-bone steak and feed it to that child. She's not ready for it yet. But somebody has got to digest it for the little ones. And that's true in the faith as much as it is in the natural. Paul says to the Corinthians, he doesn't want them to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Ignorance simply means uninformed. You can cure ignorance with information. And so many in the modern church today are ignorant of the things of the Spirit. You know, there was a time in the history of New Hope Church when we were very forward about teaching about the things of the Spirit. That teaching has kind of fallen by the wayside over the years. In this season that we're in, I'm going to tell you one thing today, it's back. The teaching of the things of the Spirit and how God can work through His people is back in the pulpit at New Hope Church. It's part of who we are. It's part of who we were intended to be. And anything and everything that we attempt to do without the leadership, guidance, power, and wisdom of the Holy Spirit is doomed to fail. We've got to do it His way. We've got to do it His way. So prepare not to be ignorant about the things of the Spirit. One thing that I do need to clarify in saying that is occasionally in the history of the church, not necessarily New Hope, but the church in general, things may have been attributed as things of the Spirit that aren't. Things may have been dismissed as not of the Spirit when they are. God gives us tools, and we're going to talk about those particular tools as we move on here. But He gives us tools to determine that. But one of the great indicators, as Zita has taught me time and time again, and I truly believe what verse 3 says, that a real good test of what you're being led to do or the voice that you're hearing is that does whatever voice is talking to you confess that Jesus is Lord, that He came in the flesh, and that there is no way that it would ever defame Jesus, call Him anathema, call Him accursed. Paul goes on to write here, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We need to understand this. The Holy Spirit is in each of us as believers, but He is not divided. He is still in perfect unity, even though He is distributed. April, around here somewhere where she's at, is a math teacher. She can tell you about the distributive property, right? It's still got the same value, but it's broken up into little pieces. So the Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit. He is not divided, even though He is in each of us individually. Even though He speaks to each of us individually, yet He is still in perfect unity with Himself, with the Father, and with the Son. There is no division among the Spirit, but He does distribute Himself among the believers. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Neither is Jesus Christ divided. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is constant. He does not change. His mission does not change. What He likes and dislikes does not change. What He desires His church to do does not change. Jesus is Jesus. He is not divided. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. God, too, is not divided. Even though you might have a revival meeting going on in one location, and a teaching conference going on in another location, and a prophetic conference going on in another location, there might be a healing service going on in a different location, but although there are different activities going on, it's still the same God carrying out the same plan, regardless of where or who is involved. Was it that Lincoln said, my concern is not whether God is on our side, my concern is whether we're on God's side. Because God is never wrong. Okay? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Is anybody hearing each one? Is anybody hearing each one? Okay. Now, why is it given? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Well, I'm part of all. Are you part of all? Yeah. Okay, so God may gift Zeta in a particular way for the profit of Wanda. He may gift Homer and Melinda in a different way for the profit of Jeff and Marie. See, there are things that God does that are for the big mission. We tend to focus on ourselves as individuals. We tend to focus on what's going on with me and what my problem is and what my hurts are and why I'm not satisfied. And that's important. God cares about that. But even more so, he cares about accomplishing the mission of the cause of Christ, which is to spread the gospel message to the world so that all who might be saved would be saved. This is what the mission is. Paul goes on to break it down. Says, for to one is given a word of wisdom. You know, knowledge without wisdom is a dangerous thing. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do something. Just because we know something doesn't mean we need to share it. Wisdom is the ability to rightly apply knowledge, and when it's spiritual wisdom, the Holy Spirit can teach us how to apply that. For example, you might be having a debate in your church about whether to build a new building, whether to hire a new minister, whether to do whatever that is for the future of the church. And there might not be a consensus in the natural. There might be things that are attractive to one candidate or things that are attractive about another candidate, and you're just not really sure in the natural how you should choose. The Holy Spirit, through a word of wisdom, can give you that information. He can tell you, he can clue you in on God's plan. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Knowledge is information. Some of you who've been around New Hope for a long time have seen word of knowledge manifest. We've seen a situation where you have maybe a prayer line going on, and the person leading the prayer line says, there is someone in the congregation who, and name a situation. Now, there was no way in the natural that person knew that. But the Holy Spirit can reveal those things. That's an important tool for ministry. Because you see, even Christians like to hide. We like to hide from each other. And if we have a struggle or a hurt or a pain or a wound or a sin in our life, we like to hide from God. But there's no place you can run from God. There's no place you can go. And God doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to disqualify you from ministry. He doesn't want to take you out of the toolkit. What he wants to do is to restore you so that you can be a useful tool in the building of his kingdom. And we've got to understand that we need to do that. God is about restoration. He's not about banishing. He's about restoring. To another faith. We all have faith. We all have a measure of faith. We had to have a measure of faith to accept what Jesus did for our atonement of our sins. We had to have a measure of faith to be able to attain salvation through Christ by accepting what he did. But what we're talking about here is a manifestation of great faith, of extra faith, of the kind of faith that it takes to make a giant leap of faith sometimes. There are days when you need more faith than other days. We all have those situations. We have those times when, it's really hard to believe what you're believing for. It's really difficult to try to process God's plan and to take that step that is so scary to take. I'll give you an example. In 2002, I walked away from a job that I'd worked almost 25 years at. I knew God was calling me to do it because I was being asked to do things that were ungodly. I knew God was in it, and starting a new business from scratch, from square one, with nothing but a promise from one potential customer was a scary thing to do. Yet I knew that I had to do it. It took great faith to take that leap of faith. And oh, by the way, that customer that was going to carry us from April to December of that first year in 2002, we did work for him that made about 2 weeks payroll the whole year. It was scary, but I knew that I knew that I knew that it's what I had to do. And I believed that God was in it. And, you know, 18 years later, that company is still going. Gifts of healings. Yes, God still does that. God still does that. He does gifts of healings. He also works miracles. And these are, a gift of healing is a special case of the working of miracles. A miracle is something that suspends natural law. It's something that God breaks natural law in order to do. It might be in the day when the sun went backwards three steps, the shadow went back three steps. It might be during a battle that when Moses held his arms up, his army prevailed, and when he let his arms down, the enemy prevailed. There are lots of things that can be miracles, but God still does it today. To another prophecy, the modern interpretation of prophecy is not foretelling the future. It is speaking forth the word of God into the current situation. I've often said this, the Old Testament prophets today would have probably had the national news broadcast on their iPhone and the word of God in the other hand, and they would say, this is what's going on today, and thus saith the Lord about it. If you don't change your ways, then this will be the consequence. If you do change your ways, then that'll be the consequence. But here's the word of God in one hand, here's the current situation in the other, and the word of prophecy today is, how does the word of God apply to your current situation? I need some word of God applied to my current situation. How about you? All right. To another, discerning of spirits. Ah, here's an important one. There are several sources for the information that calculates through your head. One is they are your own thoughts, and they are driven by your own spirit, which is driven by your bodily desires. It's driven by the imaginations of your heart. It's driven by what you want. So source of information one for the thoughts that are in your head is you. Source of information number two, if you're a believer, is God's Holy Spirit. God gives you information. God tries to guide you in the direction that you should go. He tries to help you make decisions by giving the input of His Spirit. The third source is Satan. Demonic spirits. The power of this world speaks to you with another voice. It may show you things about what other people are doing. That voice may tell you that it's really okay. God hasn't judged somebody else who's doing what you were about to do. So there are three sources. There's man's own spirit, there's God's spirit, and there's the evil spirit of Satan. How do you know which is which? First of all, refer back to verse 3. No spirit, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Does that voice that's speaking to you acknowledge Jesus? If so, could be the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's a test. Another way we know is by what God gives us as a gift. We all have some measure of discernment. Let me pose this to you. Have you ever walked into a situation or walked into a room or walked into the presence of someone and just immediately felt like you walked into a refrigerator, that there was something cold or there was something evil or there's something not right? A lot of people call that intuition. I call it discerning of spirits. What you have done is you have carried the Holy Spirit into an atmosphere where the spirit of evil exists. And the Holy Spirit reacting to that spirit of evil is giving you an indicator that, hey, something's not right. Sometimes you can listen to someone speaking, even from a pulpit, and what they say, in your mind, you can't find anything wrong with it, but it just doesn't feel right. You know that there's something wrong with it. This could be discerning of spirits. It's one of the most essential tools of Christianity. We need to be able to know where that information, we're being bombarded with information today. Information just comes at us in like a swarm of locusts. And we've got to figure out what we give credence to and what we run away from and what we embrace and what we bring in. We need to know how to discern spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. There are a couple of things going on here. One is very much akin to the word of prophecy. If you are tuned into the Holy Spirit and you see a hear a recognizable gift of tongues, then your spirit is communing with the Spirit of God in a language that you do not understand. It may be a message for the church. It may be a message for you. It may be your spirit worshiping or asking for assistance or help in a particular area that you may not even be aware of yourself. Our spirit strives with God. When we were born again, when the Holy Spirit dwells inside us, this gift of tongues in this aspect, in the aspect of a prayer language, is a important tool for us to get lined up with God, even when we don't understand what's going on. But even in addition to that, there is a message in tongues for the crowd and an interpretation. This is another way that God gets his right now word into the presence of his believers. He is able, without a man's understanding, to give a message to the people that he has no idea what he's saying. But someone else is given an interpretation. It may be the speaker. On occasion that happens, but more often than not, it's someone else who gives an interpretation. And I tell you that when you hear a message in tongues and when you hear an interpretation of it, what you need to do is exercise your discernment, because occasionally Satan likes to imitate things. But the discernment, the Holy Spirit in you, will let you know if it is right and true and correct or not. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we have a body of believers that each has their own individual Holy Spirit-supplied toolkit. We have a group of believers who has different visions, but yet they're akin to each other. We have different interests. We have different ways of doing things. So it sounds more like a collection of individuals than a body, doesn't it? When you've got everybody working on their own page, but it says up here that it's the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. So how does that work together? Well, Paul goes on to give you some understanding here. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, also is Christ. You got different parts and pieces in your body. Most of us have a brain. I'll let that sink in a minute. We've got brains, we've got hearts, we've got hands, we've got feet, we've got big toes. We got noses and ears and eyes. And they all function differently. But they're all part of the body, and they're all necessary to the body. Paul goes on and writes at some length here, but he says this: there are many members of one body, but all the members are one body. So we're all supposed to work together. When the body combats itself, that's a bad thing. When the immune system turns on the body, that's a terrible thing. If my hand were to suddenly begin to slap me in the face of its own accord, that would be a bad thing. Most of you'd think that anyway, maybe not Milo, but we're all by one Spirit we, the church, are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Just as all of the organs and systems and parts of my human physical body are each unique, they are also part of the whole. God recognizes in His church, He recognizes and enhances the individuality of each member so that we can be woven into a complex tapestry of God's design. Ever seen a big tapestry where they've woven this picture together out of these thousands and thousands and thousands of separate threads of different colors? And when the artist is done, it makes a beautiful picture. If you saw all the parts, you'd have thought, that'll never be anything. That'll be ugly. But when it's woven together, it creates one big, comprehensive, unified picture that conveys the message of the author, or the artist. God does that with His church. Each one of us, with our own unique individual gifts and talents and spiritual gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit, each one of us has a function to perform in the tapestry of the church that God's weaving. And each one is equally important. If you leave one thread out in that tapestry, it won't be the same. If you leave one person out of the body of believers, it won't be the same. There's a lack. You know, well, you might learn to compensate, like someone who's lost a limb learns to compensate, but you're still just not the same. We're all necessary parts, and God desires to use each one of us in just the right place to create that picture that He desires. So, who decides which thread goes where in the tapestry? The artist does, right? Who decides where each member is placed in the body? God does. God places us where we're supposed to be. God places us in that unique position that only I can fulfill. If you've got a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and one piece missing right out of the middle, the picture's not the same. If you've got a 1,000-piece church and there's one family missing out of the middle, it's not the same. So what I want to encourage you to do this morning is this. I want to encourage you first and foremost to spend time with God and discover what your giftings are. God has gifted every one of us. If we are born again, if we are filled with His Spirit, then God has given us a toolkit that we are to use in the building of His body. We need to discover what it is. Some of us are plumbers and we just want to be finished carpenters, and we're a lousy finished carpenter because we're supposed to be a plumber. It happens in the church too. Some of us are called to a particular ministry and a particular function in the body of believers, and we really desperately want to be something else. And it can't work that way. It might fill in for a moment, but in the long run, it'll be shown to be lacking. We need to discover who we are. We need to discover what gifts the Holy Spirit has given us. And in saying that, let me say this. Some of us will have gifts that will abide with us throughout our entire walk as a Christian. Others may receive seasonal gifts, gifts for the moment. You may have never had a word of knowledge in your life and at a critical moment receive a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. But by the same token, you may have a gift of healing, and it abide with you your entire ministry. So we need to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is giving. And, you know, it's almost like Milo's dad was a mechanic, and he tried to teach me to be a mechanic, and I had a bad habit of not taking enough tools with me under the car. And he had a way of, you know, Hey, Jim, would you hand me a 7/16 box end? He said, you should have took it when you were down there. Get it yourself. Okay. But the Holy Spirit is like this. You might be in that situation where you desperately need that particular tool, and you start to holler for help, and it's already being reached down to you. That's the way a seasonal gifting would work with the Holy Spirit. He anticipates what I need tomorrow and makes a way and provides for it to be there. Amen. So, we need to discover who we're called to be. We need to quit trying as Moses did when God called him to go see Pharaoh, and Moses made 87 excuses. Finally said, I can't do it, send somebody else. Moses said, you're going, and I'm sending your brother with you. All right, God said to Moses, rather. God said to Moses, you're going. You're the tool I want to use here. Take your brother with you. He'll help you. We need to quit protesting so much. We need to quit finding excuses not to walk in our ministry, not to fulfill our ministry. We need to quit saying, well, I acted up yesterday, so I'm disqualified. Is the blood of Jesus temporary or is it permanent? The sin that you committed yesterday is under the same blood as the sin that you committed 22 years ago. Put it under the blood. Move on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I look around this parking lot today, and the crowd isn't very big, is it? God knew who was going to be here today. God knows who's going to listen to this when I post it. God knows all of those things, and He knows who needs to hear this word. But what I'm telling you today is this: stand up and do the ministry that you were called to do. Take the time, get in the Word, get in prayer, find out what the Holy Spirit wants you to do in the building of the kingdom. The kingdom has suffered violence in this last couple of months. It's been suffering violence for a while. The scriptural remedy to that is the violent take it by force. Church, we need to stand up. We need to reestablish what this church is and what it's called to do and what it's called to be. And we need to fulfill our ministries, and we need to quit finding excuses why we're too busy or too tired, or I want to disqualify myself because I really don't want to do it. It'd be easier to stay home. Forget that stuff. Let's build God's church. He's given everyone who's here, He has given a calling, and He has given giftings. He has given the tools to do what you're called to do in the kingdom. Get off your padded seat and do it. He's pushed me in a corner, folks. He's put me in a place that I didn't think I would be. But now that I'm standing here, I know that I'm supposed to be here. And I can't let you quit because I can't quit. New Hope Church, at one point in time, had a way of doing things. The truth of the gospel was broken open in teaching. And then it was demonstrated. And then the people in the seats were commissioned to go and do. Well, that sounds like a very familiar pattern. Let's see, what did Jesus do? Jesus had people sit around and He taught them. He taught them the truth out of the Word of God. He interpreted to them things that they could not understand on their own. And then He reached out and performed what He had been teaching. And then He told His disciples, y'all go do it. These gifts are given to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. These gifts are given so that you can go be ministers of the gospel. That doesn't necessarily mean preachers, but it means those who carry the truth and the tools and go out and do tangibly what Jesus would do if He were standing here in a physical body. That's what we're supposed to do. Somebody told me this morning that the phrase that kept being heard was, rise up. It's time for the church to rise up and be the church. We need to quit sitting down. We need to quit being defeated. We need to quit looking for excuses. And we need to rise up and be the church. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for each other. But you can encourage each other to do it. And those who aren't with us physically in this place here today, who are part of this body, what I need you to do is to encourage them, to help them to rise up and be who they're supposed to be, to help them rise up and let's be the church that meets at New Hope in Gorman Hollow. Let's not be a memory. Let's not be something that is impotent, that can't perform what it's supposed to perform. Let's rise up and let's be the church. Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you move in this place. We ask, Lord, that you begin to quicken each one who is here and each one who will hear this message, whether it be on the radio or whether it be on the internet. We pray, God, that you would just quicken them to know their position in the kingdom of God. We pray, Lord, that you would quicken them to receive the power and the gifts and the wisdom and the understanding that only your Holy Spirit can bring. Help them, Lord, to quit looking for excuses and start looking for opportunities. Father, we ask that you would just flood this place and this people with your Spirit. We pray, God, that you would gather to yourself a harvest in this place, and that you would send out workers from this place, and that you would create the kingdom of God from this place. We ask, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct everything that we do. And we thank you for it because we believe that you are true and you are faithful and you are able to do all things that you set out to do. Amen.